Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the turtle shoulder voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice. And it's time now for the food show. Every afternoon, we sit down in our studios and we proceed to do something that, as near as I have been able to tell, is not performed by any other radio station in the country or maybe even around the world. I'm going to limit my claims on that and just tell you that we are now, Haley, you'll love this. 30 years been doing this show. Isn't that insane?
That's amazing.
That's almost as long as you've been with Ralph, huh?
It is.
Yeah.
26 is it really? Years.
Oh, well, I was kidding, but yeah, there it is. Haley is the executive chef of Ralph Brennan's whole empire. You know, I know people in the restaurant business hate that word, the empire, but it does capture it. Anyway, boy, that has become a lot of restaurants. I remember you when you were doing like two of them. He has a cheat sheet. NOLA Bread, NOLA Fed, Redfish Grill, Ralph's on the Park, which, you know, every time I tell somebody about Ralph's on the Park, I get the same answer from them. They say, you know, we were thinking of going there, and I don't know why we didn't, because it's a perfect place for a party.
Oh, it is.
Or a wedding reception or something. And I said, well, yeah, that's, you know, the whole point of it. But there it is. Ralph's on the Park. Napoleon House, classic old bar in the middle of the quarter. Brennan's on Royal Street. Cafe B, which is it still open?
Yes, sir.
It is, till the end of the year. Yeah. And I will miss it after that. That had become one of my regular places. And I don't have too many of those, but that... It was always the kind of restaurant that would just be the perfect thing for whatever mood I was in at that time. It was and still is a great place.
Yeah.
Heritage Grill, that's just flat gone.
That's gone.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a steakhouse now.
That is correct.
Yeah. And then we have Jazz Kitchen. Oh, this is the place on the West Coast, isn't
that's
it?
That's our property in downtown Disney in Anaheim,
yeah.
Yes.
Cafe Noma is in the
in the museum.
The museum, yeah. Of art in the boy, I'm not spitting out a word here. Anyway, and then Ralph Brennan, catering and events.
Yes.
Well, that you think that's enough going
it's
on?
Enough. We actually have a commissary bakery too. We bake for restaurants. That's not.
Oh, that's helpful.
On here.
Let's see. Wait, did I see Brennan? Yeah, here it is over here. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Eight restaurants now. Wow, who would have guessed that when he first started it?
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a hard man to keep up with.
You know, I've always liked Ralph. I remember when they first opened Mr. B's, he and his brothers and sisters. Brothers, yeah.
And Cindy.
Yeah. They got in there and they really created a whole new restaurant. And ever since then, he's done that a few times. But now eight restaurants. And even for the Brennans, that's, you know, pretty impressive.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of plates to spin. Pardon the pun.
Tell me what your career has been like. Where'd you start?
So I started out at Mr. B's as an extern.
See, there.
As an extern from culinary school.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
And after I went home to Cincinnati and graduated, I came right back.
Well, who could blame you?
Yeah. So I've worked in all the restaurants, multiple positions, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spent the most of my life in the back of the house. And at one point, Ralph convinced me at Baco to be a general manager, which I fought. But what a great experience that was, learning the front of the house and learning hospitality with the guests. It's made a big impact on how I think about restaurants. I wish more chefs had to spend time in the front of the house.
Yeah, that's a good point because they are looking in different directions largely.
Yes.
Interested me is that the first time I ran into you anywhere, it was at Baco, and it was when they were doing the White Truffles.
Yeah, the Truffle Festival.
Which was really something and long gone, unfortunately, but too expensive to mess with.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, though. We had a great time doing the Truffle
Lordy
Festival.
Oh, Lordy, it was. And I remember you there then, and here you are after all these years, just plumbing right along. Hey, would you believe we have the author of a book about turtles? Yeah, we do. And it's actually, we might have two people. We do.
We do.
Okay, well, is this Tanya I'm speaking with?
It's Tanya and Simone.
And Simone, you're on the same phone?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Tanya, if we've met, I've neglected all of the fine points. But Simone, I know very, very well from a long, long time ago over at the Windsor Court Hotel. Brilliant back then and brilliant now. Also evolved. What'd you say?
You're aging me.
They're aging you?
No, you are.
I am. You haven't seen me lately. Anyway, you are the author of a book that I will tell you made an instant impact in my home. I got one in the mail. I assume it was from you, but I brought it home, and we have we do have two grown-up kids, and they wouldn't be real interested in a little story, a very harmless and delightful story. And if my wife is nuts about kids and she's working on a project doing a video special of a whole bunch of different things. And this one, the first time she saw this book, a topsy-turvy history of New Orleans as read aloud by turtles, as near as I can tell. Is that about it?
It is, but first I have to say Haley is here because she was the keeper of the turtle.
Oh, was? Yeah.
If Haley wasn't there to do that, we wouldn't have a turtle book.
No kidding. There must be a story behind this. Haley, what happened?
There is. So when we went into Brennan's originally and started doing construction, the construction company was like, at some point, you know, the turtles are going to have to
go
to their summer home somewhere.
And wherever that might be.
I volunteered to take the turtles home. I'd been feeding the turtles while the restaurant was empty, going in and feeding them. And I would go in on Sundays with my son, and we would go down and hang out in the courtyard and feed the turtles and spend a little time
feeding them quite well. Feeding them quite well.
What do you feed turtles anyway? Is there
So apparently, from what I understand, the turtles were used to eating shrimp and crab meat.
Oh, who isn't?
So I didn't have crab meat, but I did have shrimp form. And then I had a bunch of different vegetable plants growing in my backyard. So they had cucumbers and cherry tomatoes and lettuce. And then I supplemented with some turtle food. But basically, I had two kiddie pools set up in the backyard.
Yeah.
And
this was, by the way, at Brennan's on Royal Street at the time, wasn't it?
Yes.
And that was, to call it a rather lengthy renovation.
Ugh.
It was a really lengthy one.
It was.
But there was a lot to be done. And what came out of it, whoa, what a place. I fell in love with it the first time I looked at it.
It is spectacular.
Really is great. And the turtles just come.
19 months Haley had those turtles.
Yeah. Mm. I can remember coming home and telling my husband that I had was bringing some turtles home to take care of, and that I assured him the construction company said, you know, well, it's going to be like 8 weeks, maybe 12 weeks. I had them for a little longer.
Yeah. Well, it seems to have worked out okay.
It's worked out great.
Yeah. Have they reproduced?
They have not reproduced.
Is there something wrong? Have we checked this out?
I don't know. But it was funny because my husband on the weekends would have to empty out the ponds, or the pools, actually. And so the turtles would run around the backyard, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it was allowed to continue being a lot of fun because, as far as I know, nobody was eating these turtles at that time.
No,
because I don't think anybody could have gotten his or her head around that. Because there is this parade that they do with the the turtles every year. Tell them what the name of it is. I just love the whole idea.
So it's the slowest second line on earth.
It is, and they actually do walk up and down the streets of the French Quarter.
So we gather at our corporate offices, which are on Bienville. Yeah. And we have 10 floats, and those are different managers with their children from Brennan's decorate their own wagons, depending on which turtle they get. And, we have a police escort. We have bagpipes, and we march our way from the offices up to the square and around and back down Royal Street into Brennan's. And we have a big red carpet out in front.
Oh,
and
that's
everybody,
perfect.
The turtles roll in, and we have a party in the courtyard.
Okay, but let me say is that, so there's a whole collective group. This is Simone, collective group of how, with these turtles and the turtle parade. Charlie, who is the vice president, Charlie Williamson, has been working for 22 years.
I know,
it's
appropriate to call her a fixture in the business.
She's a fixture.
Yeah.
So we're like, we need to name these turtles. And so then we're thinking, because I need to take you a step back. Yes, the turtles were named, but they got their names back when Brennan does manners classes. So it all stimulated utilizing these turtles to help also kids with manners and to utilizing a character to how to best portray the, you know, how to have proper manners in a restaurant like Brennan.
Well, I think we could use some programs like that for adults, too.
I know. Maybe we should slip that in. But it was for kindergartens and first grades. And Brennan's does it for free for select kids around the city, Center City kids. But so we gave them the names, which was perfect because of Haley, and what we cook here in New Orleans is the mother sauces, and so and the other sauces. So you have the mothers and the others, how we would say it, in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
They were 10 turtles, so they were 10 sauces. And so you had bechamel, velouté. I'm wondering how many people can name the 5 mother sauces.
Oh, that's a tough thing to do because there are a couple of them that are controversial as to whether they're considered a mother sauce or
Haley?
Not.
Haley, can Haley do it?
She probably could. You want to give it a shot, Haley?
So, bechamel, espagnol, hollandaise, tomato, and velouté.
Oh, that's
fine. And I think hollandaise is the controversial one.
I've heard that.
Yeah, they go back
and
forth.
I've heard
between
that tomatoes,
and
tomato sauces also. I've heard that those were vacillated back and forth. Well, who cares? You know, it's this
it
is all part
matter.
Of it, it. This is, you know, the cuisine of our city, as well as, you know, France and a bunch of other places that know about it.
And guess what?
Tell
all
me.
All of these mothers and the others are girls, except for one.
Really?
Yes.
No wonder they don't have what?
Except for one.
Yeah.
And he's up the other. And so the others are Remoulade, Robin Goat, Bordelaise, and Mignonette are the girls. The other girls, but the one boy is Cocktail. So he keeps it funky. So the floats, each of the floats represent one of the mother sauces. So the employees, the associates of Brennan, they decorate in their own way what represents that particular mother or other sauce. So it can be, it's quite colorful and very creative how they put these together. I'll never forget Christian, who is the general manager of Brennan. He had Cocktail as a float. Oh, my God. You can explain it, Haley. Isn't it such a creative float?
It is. He had a whole bar, like they redid the bar at Brennan's, basically, in a float that fits on a wagon that you pull. So.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Haley Bitterman is here with us. She is the all-round general manager of everything for the Ralph Brennan group of restaurants around town. Also with a Simone Rathley, who is a PR lady, although she's married to a guy who bakes. Is he still in that?
He's baking still.
He's still baking. Okay, good, because we need more of those. And Tanya Lee is also here. She is the person who wrote the book. And did you do the illustrations too, Tanya?
He did the illustrations.
They're beautiful. This is, I tell you, the first time I saw this book, I just flipped through it about two or three pages in, and I thought, this is brilliant, and everybody is going to love this. I know there are going to be a few of them under the Christmas tree this year at our house.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. My only experience with a turtle at the level that we're talking about here is that one day when I was living in Mid-City, I was walking out into the backyard, and who should be there but a turtle about this big. There's a name for those guys. They sort of kind of domed over. They're almost the most beautiful, perfect sort of turtle you could see. And he lived back there, and I could feed him certain things and not others. He was really picky about what he ate. I assume it was a he. I don't know. Anyway.
We want to make sure to know that these turtles that are in the pond,
yeah,
only snapping turtles are the ones, I think. There's a particular kind of turtle that you eat,
yeah,
not these little boogers.
No.
We have red-eared sliders.
Red-eared sliders. Now, yep. They'll take your finger off if you find one big enough.
But typically, turtle
they
soup
don't,
is
yeah.
snapping.
Snapping turtle is about all you can get anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be that you could just pick them up all over the place here, but not anymore.
Yeah, but they're hard to find.
Most of the turtle meat we get in our restaurants comes from, of all things, Virginia.
Yeah, Maryland.
Kansas, Iowa. I mean, where? How did they get there?
Turtle farms.
Turtle farm. There, I think you've hit it.
Most of ours come from if we can ever get wild, it's Louisiana, but it's very rare that we do. And the majority of them come from a farm in Maryland.
Yeah, that's all that part of the Mideast. Is that the Mideast? No, that's the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Now I got it.
Yeah. So I would love to bring Tanya in again and say, you know, how her inspiration for the illustrations were, and maybe give a little history about things, because turtles have been around for centuries.
Much older than, they're even older than dinosaurs are. I've stunned everybody by saying that, but that's actually true.
Okay, but Tanya, well, these turtles have been around for at least 300 years, as long as New Orleans is old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the premise of the book, which really practically wrote itself, because New Orleans has such a colorful and storied history, as I hardly need to tell you.
Yeah.
But we realized that it could be made even more colorful if we told the tale through the eyes of these turtles, turtles of Brennan. So they're on every page, and they're witness to all the major events in New Orleans history, from the founding through the building of 417 mm-hmm. Royal Street in 1795 and onward. Did you know about that building? So let's go on about the Brennan Building.
The Pink Building?
The Pink Building.
Yeah. How can you miss it?
It in 1795, it was built by the great-grandfather of Edgar Degas. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I know that they were connected mainly with the famous chess player. Morphy. Paul Morphy was his name, I think.
Paul Morphy.
Tanya, why don't you say what the big event was in Louisiana Bank?
Before Paul Morphy grew up there, it was the very first financial institution in the Louisiana Territory, and then it became a private home that hosted Andrew and Rachel Jackson. They stayed there overnight as guests on an anniversary of the Battle of New Orleans. And then the Morphys acquired the building and raised Paul, the chess prodigy, who swept the world with his amazing ability as a kid.
Yeah, that's an amazing story about that guy. He was just brilliant to extremes that you can't even begin to figure.
But internationally, he was.
Yeah,
He not accepted in the U.S. as a winning chess player.
He was the U.S. champion, and he was largely accepted as the European champion, which was even more prestigious at the time.
Probably so. But we have a way of being number one in a lot of things that you might not think about, like the opera in New Orleans. You know, it stands up to any other in the country, in the world, back in those days. And, you know, this is a much better town than even those of us who wave the flag all the time think anymore. Tanya, is that you I'm talking to right now? I'm not sure.
Yes, I'm right here.
Yeah. Tell me, what moved you to write this and draw this? It's so well done. And the whole idea of it, though, grabbed me and thinking, boy, this must have just hit you in the middle of the night, and you couldn't stand to even stop and think about it. You got up in the middle of the night to write all the notes down. I mean, was it like that?
Well, I tell you, the story did write itself because, you know, you can't make this stuff up. It's your history.
No.
It's the history of New Orleans, and it's a wild ride, but I cannot take credit for the whole concept. It was not I who came up with the idea. I think Charlie Williamson and Simone Rathley realized that this was a great opportunity, the tricentennial of the city, to use the turtles who already existed as characters in a little book of manners that we had put together for Brennan.
Hmm.
And to tell the story through their eyes made a whole lot of sense.
So we kept, this is Simone, so we kept on deliberating, Charlie and I, about this manners book going back and forth so we could have a proper manner book for the children. And all of a sudden, a light bulb went off in my head, and I said, no, we have to do a book. It's 300 years. It's the tricentennial. Charlie, I want to be able to help write a book that's about the 300th anniversary of New Orleans through these turtles and have a children's book.
Brilliant insight, all the way. I mean, those of us who have kids, if you just open the book and put your finger anywhere in the book, it's delightful to the max.
Oh, thank you. It's certainly the most fun I've ever had on paper. It was a real treat to drop these turtles into your gorgeous city.
And how children, there's nothing there that for children to understand the importance of our history. So it was great to be able to walk them through where they would, in such a colorful manner, but that it would be easy for them to maintain. It's like we were trying to create Hamilton in a book.
Mm.
Okay?
So, I hope he didn't meet up with that other guy. Because that would have, okay, we don't even want to think about that.
So now kids, I think, can know a little bit about our history, sort of benchmarks throughout this 300 years through turtles.
Why not? I mean, we've come up with some nuttier ideas, that's for sure. But everything about it just looks at our city and puts a smile on your face. It just is so terrific.
Well, I'd love to know what's your favorite part in the book. Do you recall?
My favorite part in the book. Yes, I can tell you. I can tell you exactly. Let me see if I can get to it quickly.
And then I want to know Tanya's favorite part in the book.
I think my favorite part of the book is, let's see. What's this? I just realized that there are no page numbers on this book. Oh. How could that affect?
No, just tell us the picture.
The picture, starts off with a guy, a turtle carrying a banner, and then there's a guy, or is it a girl? It's hard to tell. It's a girl, yeah, with a fork and a spoon, a large one, And then there's one that looks like a hot dog inside of a turtle. And then finally, you have one pile stocked up with celery and onions. And then we get the Brennan
rooster.
And we all know what the rooster's name is, don't we? Let's see if everyone does. Do you know?
Mm-mm.
You don't know? Oh, he has a name. And it goes back to the 70s.
Really?
I mean, I'm sorry, the 40s. Tanya, you still there?
I'm here, and I don't know the name either.
You don't? Get ready for it.
That's me.
Yeah. His name was Chanticleer, and it still is.
Oh.
Yes.
Chanticleer.
Chanticleer.
And I've over the years, I have run into a number of restaurants that carry that name, too, mostly in the Northwest. I remember being in New York State attending this big hotel, and they had a gigantic logo exactly the same as the one that's been on Brennan's for a long time. And they had a name for it, Chanticleer. In fact, that was the name of the restaurant, Chanticleer.
It's the name of our main dining room.
Is it?
Yes, the Chanticleer room.
Yeah. Well, just judging by what I just told you, I can almost claim credit for that.
You can.
No, all I found was somebody else that was doing it. So that's all.
I'm so glad that you like this picture, and I want to point out that right.
Well, it's got a food. It's got a food connection. This is me.
The food, and in fact, if you look closely at those three food items in the parade, you may recognize the Holy Trinity.
That's exactly.
The bell pepper, the celery, and
Yeah, the garlic and the sardines. Yeah, that's. Yeah. I am sure you get asked this question a lot. One of the answers is really easy. Go to any bookstore in town and you would find this, I suspect, right?
The majority, most bookstores, yeah.
Yeah, most bookstores. And now that bookstores are on hard times sometimes, you might suspect that they don't have it. But here's something you need to know about books in general. If you want a particular book and you go to the bookstore and they don't have it there on display or anything, ask them. They will get it for you within a 1 or 2 or 3 days. Bookstores do that routinely, no problem. So I have no doubt that you could get this book at any bookstore in the city.
We have a big bookstore at Brennan.
that one too. The name of the book, because I don't believe we've said that, is A Topsy-Turvy History of New Orleans with 10 Tiny Turtles. Isn't that cute?
300 years and slowly counting.
And who wouldn't want to? This is The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's great to be here with you talking about these New Orleans things. And, that never gets far away from my heart because I talk about this all the time, but I'm going to say it again. Did you know I was born on Mardi Gras? I really was, and I was delivered by a doctor who was also a jazz musician. He was very well known. His name was Dr. Souchon, and he delivered me in 1951. And so I say that makes me is just as stiff a New Orleans kind of guy as could possibly be. And I eat red beans every Monday. Oh, hi, it's The Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. We are hanging out today with Haley Bitterman, who is the corporate executive chef for Ralph Brennan's Restaurants. Tanya Lee is here. She is the illustrator of a book called Topsy-Turvy History of New Orleans and 10 Tiny Turtles. And I just, during the break there, I was looking at this little book that actually was a predecessor of that, as I understand it.
You've got it. Oh, good.
And it's Table Manners at Brennan's and Beyond, and it's junior edition. So this is if you're a kid and you're just learning, and especially if you're one of those very fortunate kids that were going crazy about restaurants from the day they first went and continue to do so. So anyway, some of the rules they tell you here: place your napkin on your lap, and to which I often say, "Where's the damn napkin? The linen napkin, please. What's with all this?" Okay, no hats at the table. Well, of course not. Turn off the TV, phones, and iPads. Yeah, sure. Use the proper table utensils. Who knows of the three ladies on the phone with me? There's an answer, a legitimate answer to this, and I could quote you these authorities. Using the proper table utensils, what should they be for dessert of any kind?
A spoon.
A spoon? Okay. That's,
at the top.
You're right. At the top?
The flat. Yes, the top is a flattish spoon. It's a little flatter. It's not as curved spoon, right?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay.
Anybody else? Who had to weigh in on this? The answer is that you serve it with a soup spoon and a salad fork. Because that cuts you through all the problems you might have. Well, what do you need, like, for ice cream? Have you ever had a one of those wedges of ice cream that you get from Angelo Brocato's? And it's so hard frozen that with a spoon, you'll go click and the thing will pop off and roll to the floor. You know, that's not what you want. So if you have a fork, though, it'll go right through the ice cream and it solves all those problems. Vanderbilt, what was her first name? She was Amy Vanderbilt wrote a book on this subject. And some of them stuck in my mind because I have all this time to kill on the radio show. Anyway, let's see. What else? Elbows belong off the table. Wait until everybody has been served before eating, although there's an alternate rule for that, too. If there are six or more people at your table, you are to eat when served because of the reasons that the chef will tell you without hesitation. I know you know the reason.
Food gets cold.
The food gets cold. That's it. And no chef wants that to happen. So you're certainly not insulting the chef by doing that. So anyway, this is a great little book. Who do you have to see to get a hold of one of these? Table Manners at Brennan's. I guess just going over to Brennan's would do it, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Have Brennan's breakfast at Brennan's, yeah. I'm sorry, did I just... Oh, I did it again. Try it here. Go ahead.
No, it's Brennan's that we have those little books, but those are the books that we like to give to the children, the kindergartens and the first graders that come for their manners classes.
It's beautiful. And Tanya did this, the art on this too, right?
Correct. Yeah. That's right. They were like dress rehearsals for the big book.
Yeah, there you go. Well, all right, we're heading into the holiday season. It's not too far from now anyway. So I'm thinking if you have anybody, any young people in your family, and you're trying to figure out something for them to enjoy, this book is just a laugh a minute. And I would say as a book that you would put your child on your lap and read a story to your children when they're still little enough for it to mean anything, do that. You'll have tears of joy in your eye. It is totally delightful. And I thank Tanya. Tanya, you still there?
Yes, Tanya.
Thanks for spending some time with us. If you did, you have anything else you want to add before we head off into the hinterlands?
Her favorite page.
Whose favorite page?
Tanya's favorite.
Oh, Tanya's favorite page. What is it?
I'd be hard-pressed to pick a real favorite. It was a treat drawing painting a portrait of Chef Haley, though.
Oh, yeah? What page is that?
Oh, towards the back.
And Haley is actually in the book?
I am.
In a blue apron.
Wearing a blue apron. Oh, is this you right in the middle of things here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you look like you need a sous chef here. Yeah, you never can tell.
How glorious their spread is of what they got to eat.
Yeah, it's a huge.
They were some spoiled turtles.
I'll see. And not spoiled for being left out either.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. this is the whole thing is just. Just so much
and
fun.
I would like to say my favorite, Simone here, is the turtles. I love how all the turtles are Paul Morphy's pawns. I mean, I love how each of the turtles are dressed like some of the chess players. And I love the turtles because did you know We think and believe there is a tunnel that is under Brennan. And that tunnel is there, and it was built that it, you could escape from Royal Street underground to get to Bourbon Street in case the pirates were coming. And you needed to get the money out. So on that page, the turtles are escaping through the tunnel.
No kidding. Is that what this is here? I think it's what I'm looking at. That's really kicks.
So there is in the bar, Haley, say that in the bar there is a door that you can see where the tunnel began.
I've heard of this tunnel before. It wasn't there, though, but it was very close by, about a half a block away.
There is a tunnel in this little door that's right in the bar area.
Right? Yeah, oh, sure.
Right. You know. Well, there is a little secret place, if you will, that goes underneath the main staircase, which has a door that you enter in the bar area. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, well, a lot of things are transacted in the bar.
Yes.
Yeah, no matter what it is. Yeah.
Well, probably one of the funnest things for me is when I'm at Brennan's, and there's, especially during brunch, and there's a lot of children, or if they're hanging out, they always go out to the pond to see if they can find the turtles, is to go out with a bowl of sliced bananas and like
bananas.
Just hang out with the kids.
Now, I wouldn't have guessed bananas.
Yeah, they like bananas.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't that funny?
Yes. And there's banana trees that grow right over them.
That's right. Huh? Yes. I forgot to even think about that. Do they like that kind? Because those are very unusual banana trees in there.
They are. And they, in the past, when some of the bananas have fallen, they disappear. So they must be eating them.
Somebody must
be.
But anyway.
I was also told once that they have a sweet tooth.
Oh.
And that you have to be careful how much fruit you feed them, because they will go on strike for fruit and stop eating their regular food. But it's so fun to go out there with the kids and toss them in the bananas and watch them come out from under their rocks. And
you know, to add a really genuine historical aspect to this, I'm looking at a spread in this book. On one side, it says, "One August, a mighty storm named Katrina washed the turtles clear out of the French Quarter." And opposite on the page, and it says, "They all returned to a thoroughly topsy-turvy courtyard." I just love this. You know, that gets me in so many different ways. So cute. All right. Any bookstore, no problem. You'll find this anywhere you look. Of course, if you were to go to Brennan's, you could probably pick up as many
and
as
And online,
you.
Too, on Brennan's
and
website.
And online.
Yes.
Brennan'sRestaurant.com, I think that's what it used to be.
BrennansNewOrleans.com.
BrennansNewOrleans.com. Okay. Topsy-turvy history of New Orleans and 10 tiny turtles. It's just too much. Too good. What a great stocking stuffer. Just terrific. Well, it's such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much. I know we took up a lot of time talking about some pet turtles. it's kind of silly in a way, but then again, you gotta live and you gotta lighten up, you know.
It's
and
New Orleans. So
this is it. It's New Orleans for sure. Well, thank you very much, Tanya. I hope I bump into you somewhere.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Tom, for honoring us to be on the show with you and to talk about something very special to us.
Yeah. Well, I love it, too. And Simone, who is a friend of ours, who she ran the Windsor Court Hotel's PR business, and we still go there all the time, you know.
I have to go by there. Do you know that's, like, been 30 years?
What?
It's been almost like 30 years.
Since they opened up?
Well, 19...
The 80-something.
World's Fair.
Early 1980s, I'm sure of that, because there were a bunch of major hotels that opened at that time. The Windsor Court
1984.
Right, 84. Yeah. Right. That sounds right. Well, it's still there, and it's still a real pleasure. My wife and I spent our wedding night there. A couple of nights before we took off on our honeymoon. It was just marvelous. And
that is special.
Yeah. Well, nice.
Get everybody to come to Brennan's.
Okay. Too. Yeah, there you are. Yeah. Thanks for calling. Thanks for taking the
Thank
time out,
so
too.
Much.
See
Big
ya.
Hug.
We have about 5 minutes here. You have a few more things I'm sure we could get in. Haley Bitterman. You know, that's a great name. Every time I hear it, I think that's the name of like a very suave singer. No, you're
the Bitterman?
Is there somebody with that name
that's
famous? Haley Bitterman. I mean, it just sounds like it belongs naturally in the middle of a record album. I mean, I don't know why. It just, you could get away with it.
Yeah, it was, I was Haley Gable for forever.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Huh, I forgot about that.
Before I became a Bitterman, if you will.
A bitter man.
Yes. My husband actually works in the restaurants. He's
a sous chef.
Yeah.
What's he do?
Yeah, we met. He's a sous chef. He's at Napoleon House. Right
now. Oh, the Napoleon House. Yeah. This here, there's some undergoing a little bit of renovation over there.
There's a lot of renovation going on right now. We're just finishing up. We actually redid the kitchen this summer.
Yeah.
And we've been doing a lot of plaster work on the building to keep it up.
Those private dining rooms up on the second floor. I always thought this is a complete waste of space for this restaurant. I mean, because they certainly needed the space. And here it was, just practically empty most of the time. But a great place to go for all the things you go to Napoleon House for anyway, which include drinking and eating.
Right. Yeah, we do a lot of private parties upstairs. That's a beautiful room.
It really is. Yeah. And talk about a lot of tradition and a lot of
A
lot of things
lot of
that have happened over there over the years. We have lost Cafe B, or it's soon to be.
Yes,
anyway.
In December.
I'm going to miss that one. I really, and you know, a lot of other people have told me that exact same thing, that they're going to miss that restaurant. And because it really had a little bit of everything.
It does. My kids love going there.
I'll
it's
bet.
One of their favorite places
I'll bet
to
they
go.
Did. We went with our kids early on, and we were kind of taken aback by the fact that there were more hamburgers there than we expected to find. But then that changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got better and better and better. But
yeah, I think Michael Udo does a great job of offering a very wide variety to the neighborhood. Yeah. And they do an excellent brunch out there. Brunch is one of our busiest days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we do brunch on Saturdays and Sundays now.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. You were doing breakfast for a while there, weren't you?
We did. We did breakfast for quite a while. And then we've also got Ralph's on the Park. So it's just 4 miles down the road.
Easy enough.
Yeah.
You're still doing that two for the price of three, or
we
wait,
do the
what is
three
it?
Apps and a glass of wine.
Three appetizers.
We're probably just wrapping that up.
Yeah, $33, I remember. And
Very popular.
I've had many people call me and tell me, what's that restaurant there where for 33 cents you get a but you know, you have it right.
Yeah.
And it's really good. I'm a big fan of it.
Now, they've opened up for Saturdays too for brunch.
Oh,
so they do a great brunch on Saturdays and Sundays at Ralph's.
Well, it's a perfect place to be because after you finish, you can take a walk through the park.
Yep.
It might be a little cooler there than anywhere else. And then of course we've got the all the lights at in the holiday season too. A lot of wonderful things coming up in that area. More of the Food Show coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.